From classics to curiosity, and where melodies meet me. Welcome.
Butts of the screen, in between, you know what I mean? I might start rapping at the beginning of the podcast. Okay. God asked.
Wow. Powerful start. Welcome. Welcome. Thank what you for up? That. That was a delicious intro, actually.
Delicious.
I guess you're still inspired by things that are going on in the air. Yeah, yeah. Battle D is
back. Since we last talked, it got even crazier. And we were worried about where it could go, and it went there.
It went like there, yeah. Did it stop there, though? And obviously, we're talking about... Last week, we talked a little bit about this beef, the buff,
right.
Kendrick and Drake. And we were worried that it might get violent in one way or the other, and it did. What was that, Thursday, Friday last? No, it wasn't that. It was earlier in the week. It was Tuesday. Yeah. Monday night, maybe. So, yeah, there was a shooting at Drake's Toronto spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to be honest, that's where I tuned out. I was afraid it would go there, and I was just like, I don't know. So you got some updates for me?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's directly related to Kendrick Lamar. I could actually rule that out. I think it's almost impossible.
To the man himself.
I don't think he has any connection to that. And I don't think...
That'd be really
silly.
I truly
want to believe that Kendrick wouldn't want to take it there.
However, especially...
I think he might have... sorry.
No, there's so many reasons why not, especially not knowing... Right. We're in a different country now. It's just...
Right.
That's another level. I can understand cities and things and calling out cities, but no one's going to set that up for another country, not knowing the details of anything. And then a security guard got shot. So for whatever reason, hopefully very unrelated. Did they come up with any theories? Like, I haven't heard.
There's been a couple that I've
anything that makes sense
closely.
To you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
There had been some trouble brewing in. Between OVO and EXO, which is The Weeknd's crew, and
Weeknd's
obviously Canadian,
right?
And Drake had some scathing remarks
towards
The Weeknd and his manager Cash. I don't know if you caught that in some of the family matters. I think he really went at him pretty hard. There was a couple hard lines in there.
Okay,
and some people have speculated. Oh, and just before the shooting at Drake's house.
Yeah.
There was a shooting involving Cash, Weeknd's manager.
Mm.
So some people think that it might have been related to that, which is unfortunate because the two
really
biggest
wild.
Stars to come out of Canada shouldn't be doing this. It's
and not even out of Canada, like within kilometers of each other.
Right.
Like this is all Toronto-based GTA, so that'd be a little bit embarrassing, just especially because they're not. I mean, the gangster rap thing is what it is, but that's not the era that we're in my opinion. And
it's just sad when the art becomes reality. Let me say that.
Right.
And I feel like at most times with a lot of people that I know, I've seen the art become their reality.
When
they
start
needing to live their raps, they need that authenticity.
The identity, right?
Exactly. So now they have to start being that guy that they're rapping like. And we've seen it for many, many years. A lot of our favorite rappers pretend to be people that they're not. I'm not even going to lie. I fell victim to that in my teenage years as well.
Oh, yeah, we all did. And then truths were exposed later. And we're like, really? But I mean, hey.
I'd love to talk about with a bunch of men from the 90s because I know how I fell victim to, I don't want to call it brainwashing, but it might have been.
On levels it was.
To some of the messaging that I had heard, I had figured, I got to live a certain way and do certain things.
Look a certain way, yeah.
And look a certain way, and it was all nonsense. You know what
I
mean?
It was all
and
nonsense,
I worried that
the
egos and the people around these men, have made them, maybe switch into characters that I don't know if they were prepared to be. Because a lot of people don't read the fine print of what it takes to become a gangster.
And why would you want to? Like, by choice?
You're
living a good life. You've made it outside of probably, you're in the 1% as far as popularity.
And wealth.
Wealth.
To be honest.
Right. Reach. And then you go, it doesn't make sense that you would try and turn it all the way back. to a place that you didn't even come from in the beginning, to now try and embody that image of the guy. I think it's dated, man. Unfortunately, there are some people who are still being raised and bred into that sort of lifestyle. And I don't think it's by choice. I think it's usually a matter of survival and necessity, or just not being aware. Right. So when you have that kind of access to spin it all the way back and make it seem like it's this whole gangster thug life foolishness that's not real. Right. I'm not saying if that's your real life that, you know, obviously, but if it's not real and it's not necessary, I just don't understand why you'd want to bring it there. So stop the foolishness. Those are my final words on this. Yeah, exactly. It was cute. Okay, a little battle rap, give you a little flavor of your, you know, some of the experiences that we had from Tupac and Kumo D. Was it Kumo? Yeah, Kumo D and some of the others with the original battle rap, but... Ice Cut Cube, the games, man.
NWA,
Cannabis and
there's
LL Cool J.
Some real tension, real problems with real gangsters. I don't want to pretend
that's different.
You know, that's completely different. And now we've got, and you know, not only did the shooting happen, but he's had people trying to now like come into his residence, like climbing the walls.
This is what's wild, because you're influencing people.
Right.
You're influencing people who think that they're riding with you.
Right.
I'm riding with this guy. I'm riding with this guy. I'm riding with this city. And you're not. You're not. Exactly. It's foolish. You say climbing walls?
Yeah, bro. They climbed like his fence to try and get at him. Even if he was at home. We don't even know.
It's just wild. It's silly. It's dangerous. And again, it's silly. There's cameras everywhere, first of all. So you're going to be seen. Yeah. That was you climbing the wall. Come with me, sir. Really weird. Really weird behavior that's happening, man. But kind of fun conversation, I can't lie. I just hope that it ends.
From an entertainment standpoint, it was great. As a casual
exposure.
To watch this.
They're all the way up here. It's been, you know, conversation all around from CNN to barbershop. So there's that.
And it's propelled Kendrick into a stratosphere I don't think a lot of people expected to happen.
I'm not going to lie. I'm one of them. I'm one of those people who didn't expect it. Just you mentioned him. I never took in his music. It's not really my thing these days. So I was just outside of it all. And aside from this happening, I wouldn't have listened to anything. So there is
now
that.
You might go back and check out some, because he does have, I don't want to shit on Kendrick, he has phenomenal projects.
Okay.
Damn, in my opinion, is a masterpiece. Some people argue a couple others. I really like also Good Kid, Bad City. I think, is it Bad City or Mad City? But that album with Backyard Freestyle and The Recipe, and just so many. He makes good music. I didn't think he could make great battle rap music or really enter that arena and be a worthy opponent, and I was wrong. I mean,
fair.
He was calculated in even just outside of the music itself.
Yep.
He predicted how it was going to go, which was crazy. He warned Drake and said, we can go one of two ways. This can be an exhibition of bars and skill, or we can get disrespectful. And Drake made the choice thinking that he had him. You know, he's like, I can expose him. I've got him.
Yeah.
And Kendrick eviscerated him. And the final cap was that, you know, claiming that West Coast song, that Bay Area song, they not like us, like... That was the ceiling point, and I know that song is going to get played throughout summer, if not in the West Coast, all over, because I've heard it already, and people have been ringing it off, and I think that now he's kind of let Drake know, like, I have the West Coast on lock, good luck trying to convince the rest of the world. Meet the Grams was exposition on the hardest level.
It was deep and personal, and I respect it. I respect it as a business move. Go ahead.
I do want to share a story because it was hilarious, but like
you
are the furthest thing from hip hop right now in your life. You don't really pay too much attention to it.
No, and I'll tell you why after your story. Yeah, go ahead.
And I was just minding my own business, and I got a phone call from Anthony, and he was like, yo, all excited. I was like, yo, what's going on? He's like, yo, Kendrick just dropped. I didn't even know, and I'm a little bit more in tune than Anthony. And
he's telling me on.
Kendrick just dropped, yo, and it's scathing. And he's even reciting bars that you're trying to strike a chord. What's the line?
And it's A minor. That was the one.
A minor.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'd never heard you that excited about hip hop since.
It was just, yeah. That reference was funny to me, even though the idea behind it is disgusting. But
it's just
the fact that he said A minor and it made you think, because I'm thinking music. Mm. This is Drake.
Right.
Like, is this? I don't get it. And I was like, oh, it's a minor.
Double entendre.
Yeah.
He was full of them throughout this battle, which was so beautiful.
It's calculated. Yeah. And you're right. This is not definitely not my my area these days. But it's been a fun little trip to listen to. As a business move, I think it's incredible. Like you said, what Kendrick?
Brilliant.
Yeah,
because I heard he's dropping music this month too.
Right. So this makes sense.
An actual album.
And I also have heard these things. I've heard stories. I don't know if I can't really confirm them or not, but it makes sense to me that some of the major labels do push for their artists to create some sort of a viral moment before releasing an album. So as business and understanding that's a part of the industry and the movements, I respect it. The words that were said, I've already voiced my opinion, and frankly, they don't really matter. It's not really about me. It's I think it was distasteful in ways, but I think that they checked the boxes that they probably wanted to. And from here on out, I hope that they take that rise to further popularity and do something better with it. But let's see what happens next. No more shootings, no more violence, man. It's just silly. We're way too educated. We're too aware of the realities behind that stuff and the influence on the next generation. So
Right.
But let's talk more business.
Sure, let's do it.
So what's the next thing here? Because I was thinking actually just about exposure and what that even means these days. And there's so many ways to try to put yourself out there through social media. There's paid ads. There's, oh my God, it just goes on and on. But the problem with it is unless you have a strategy and probably something that's been proven already, it's very hard to cut through, as we all know. People are posting videos all day long. And you're kind of just like cycling through this material. It doesn't even last. The word viral is viral, but to create a viral moment, I don't know. Like I mentioned earlier, that the labels expect like viral moments from their artists, but without the reach initially. We've seen videos that blow up and cute little clips and funny things that blow up from like someone that maybe wasn't known before, but. That expectation of that happening now is, do you think it's, I don't know, it seems like it's almost a goal for people, right? Yeah. Like to create something that will just put them from 0 to 1,000. And in my opinion, that cuts a lot of the hard work. Obviously, if you're at a level to create that moment is a little different when you have a fan base already, you have maybe industry backing you. And all those things already in place. But what does it take to get to that place? Like, it's still going to take a lot of hard work, consistency, cutting through, honing your craft, perfecting your craft, all that stuff. I think it gets forgotten a little bit too often these days from what I'm seeing.
100%.
Trying to cut corners. But that's me leading up to this next thing that I want to talk about, which is the exposure for artists who have already kind of made it to that level. And we're talking, like, again, the Drakes, the Ariana Grandes, and what social media platforms, specifically TikTok, bring to artists on their level, and even, you know, some of the signed artists that aren't quite as popular as them. That's me kind of throwing the ball to you to dive in on what you think about this whole TikTok universal issue that's taking place right now.
Well, it's fascinating because the fight between, so I don't know if a lot of people are aware of the idea.
Is this more beef?
No, most of the social media is also got, not control, but partnerships with a lot of record labels.
Right.
TikTok, Instagram, and a lot of times without the agreement of the label, you can't put anything on these social media platforms. Now, they had come to an agreement monetarily on how to kind of distribute royalties to the labels. And recently, Universal had put a stoppage to all of that because of what had been happening with the splits. They didn't like what TikTok was doing.
Okay.
They wanted to come to renegotiate in good faith, and they couldn't reach an agreement. So Universal had decided to actually stop all music from being being licensed on their platform. And it was a month-long standoff between Universal and TikTok. I forget the name of the actual company that owns TikTok. It's a weird name. Have you ever seen their name? It's something like iDance or something. I forget what the name of the company is.
Huh. Maybe I can look that up while you're talking.
But recently they had, the dispute was over, you know, AI policies and royalty payments. That was the crux of their problem. And they had recently struck a deal, and part of the agreement was the company will, TikTok, I believe, will improve its remuneration for UMG songwriters and artists, new promotional agreements and engagement opportunities for the recordings and songs, and industry-leading protections with respect to generative AI, which I'm not sure how they're going to go about protecting artists, because I think that beast is way too powerful now.
Yeah,
and I can't see a social media company be doing anything really to prevent that. But we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting. But UMG's music will finally return to the platform, and the companies will collaborate on releasing new monetization opportunities utilizing TikTok's, you know, growing e-commerce capabilities. But what's interesting is that it's not really going to probably change anything for the artists. So it's like, you pretend that you're fighting for the artists, but we haven't heard anything about you changing your structure for how much they get paid for streams, because we know that they're getting robbed, and we know that you're in bed with all the streaming platforms. That's the only way they could have the ability to have all this music. But you don't really care about that, but you pretend to care when it comes to TikTok. And I don't understand how you can pretend to have this fight, like you're fighting for the artist, but you haven't really said anything from the artists, like how you as UMG are going to help compensate the artists. You want this platform to do a lot for your artists, but you're not taking you're not making any changes on how you're going to protect your artists, and you're going to help your artists get paid off of their work a little bit better, especially from streaming, and especially from, you know, the promoting their stuff on TikTok. The payment structure hasn't changed, and I'd love to talk to an artist, because I don't even think Canadian artists can get paid on TikTok. Do you know? Can you confirm that? I think it's just U.S. artists,
or signed with the U.S. label, I guess, right?
Yeah, maybe. Or I think I honestly think if you're trying to do anything on TikTok in Canada, that there is no way.
Like, you'd have to be signed with Universal. Like, do they have a Canadian
division?
Even then, live
in Universal's
Canada.
Just
Canada, yeah, they do, yeah.
For sure.
So, yeah, maybe, that's something we can look into, because it could be that you have to be with the U.S. division or whatever, as far as that goes as an artist.
I'm 80% sure. I'm open to be corrected, but I'm pretty sure Canadian artists do not make any money, or any Canadian creators do not make any money off of TikTok. I think it's strictly American.
Huh. Yeah, let's fact check that. That's if so, that's very sad for us being Canadian. I was just reading this quote too. I think this is from representatives from TikTok. TikTok has been able to reach artist first agreements with every other label and publisher. Clearly, Universal's self-serving actions are not in the best interest of artists, songwriters, and fans.
Facts.
It's deep. That's deep. That's why I said, when you mentioned it, that's why I said, is this another beef? Because it definitely sounds like there's been shots fired both ways, from Universal and from TikTok. So,
and from the U.S. government. I mean, TikTok's fighting a bunch of really big battles with really powerful entities. Right now, they had been forced to sell the app to a U.S. firm, or they're going to ban TikTok. And now TikTok is countersuing the U.S. government. So it'll be fascinating to see how that plays out, because, you know, the U.S., it's all about control. And they just, because our apps, there's other U.S. apps that do exactly the same data sweeping, data mining, you know, all that collection of information. Like Facebook, Meta is doing the exact same thing, but because they're U.S., and the U.S. government can work with them, whether it's through force or through, you know, just gentle cooperation, they don't get that same access with TikTok, because they're a foreign company.
So they
essentially want TikTok to sell to an American company so that they can, you know, get in bed with them and make sure that they're collecting all that data for their own evil, nefarious works. But it's all just about data.
The bottom line, data has become
the hottest commodity in the world. Yeah,
that's so true.
More valuable than gold.
Scary. Yeah, scary, really. And I mean, it's being collected. Everything we do, every word,
everything
you put out there, every transaction, it's all data.
Everything.
And
which is why they want us, you know, to escape using money, and they want us to
track,
get everything, just for tracking purposes. Because
once
you have all these data points, you can then start to understand that person. And it all it takes is X amount of data points. And now I understand how Anthony thinks. I understand
how you can predict
habits,
spending habits and behavior. Exactly. And people like him. It's deep. It's deep.
Real deep.
I use cash still. It's not easy. And you can't use it for a lot of things, like especially online. I do a lot of online purchases. So that eliminates right out the door, right? But yeah, it's scary, man. And just to think that the forces that be are so deeply aware of the value of this data that they're willing to go to war on these things.
Like, absolutely.
It might seem like it's just music, it's just streaming, the artists aren't getting paid enough, but it's so much deeper than that.
Deeper, exactly. It's scary.
Slightly terrifying. I personally think it's, it's business, so it comes down to the bottom line no matter what. If they weren't making money doing things, then they wouldn't be doing these things.
Exactly,
And I did hear that Universal said something like, this streaming revenue is like less than 1% of their total revenue. But then when you look at their total revenue, even still, but if you look at their total revenue, it's so big that 1% is still a large sum. Like we're in billions, I think, right?
Yeah.
For one division. Like if you're looking at Universal Music Group, it's like 8 billion versus now you have film and all the other divisions they have. It's nuts.
Yeah. Do you know how big Universal actually is? Like, Universal owns a majority of the record labels. Like, you'll hear
like
of record labels.
Yeah, not even
like
smaller,
all
right?
The smaller labels. Def Jam was under Universal. Interscope, I believe, was under Universal. Like, their umbrella, if you look at their umbrella, it's ginormous.
Oh,
and
sorry.
I think they're connected
I quoted some wrong numbers. I said 8 billion, but that was euros, so like 10 billion US.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And like 40 billion Canadian.
Oh man, if you got US dollars, come spend them in Canada. You'll get yourself some deals.
Oh man.
Yeah, especially those if you're looking for live entertainment, man. Come holler at your boy and we'll send some musicians down. Yeah, wow.
How often do you go down to the US for work, just out of curiosity?
Never. Right. It's I'll tell you why.
Complicated.
It's so complicated because the US musicians can come here. We actually have a podcast friend who's coming down later this month, play for an artist. I won't say his name just in case. It's not as straightforward as I think, but as far as I know, US artists can just jump over here. They can work. They can play for Canadian artists. They can travel with US artists. They can meet someone coming from the UK, do the show at this, whatever. I was going to say Sky Dome, but like anywhere in Toronto. Going back. But for us to go there, say we just had a simple wedding, okay? We're going to go and we're going to do a wedding. Not even say a stadium show, just a simple wedding. And I think it's all the same process regardless. We have to apply for a P2 visa.
Right.
And it has to be, you have to have specific dates. So you can't just say, I'm going to go sometime next year and then this is going to blanket me from now until then. You have to have specific dates. If dates are added, you have to reapply or get them inserted and approved. And you're talking about a couple $1,000s per pop. So if we had a 10-piece band, we're paying a couple $1,000s per pop per musician after having to be a part of the a music federation, American Federation of Music, and then apply separately per date.
Wow.
It's such a process that it's like when I get the requests, I usually just say no. For example, the tour that we were doing, we had access to like a whole slew of US cities and dates, and it was just too much work to make it make sense for what it was. So
got you.
That's the long answer. It's not easy at all, and it's not worth it. Now, if you're like a Say you're like a bigger artist, not like an A-list, but if you have some, you know, some recordings under your belt, I think there's 10 criteria and you have to meet at least three of them to apply as like an artist. And then you pay like $7,000, which gives you more opening. I don't think you have to go per date then, but you have to go through some scrutiny to be approved for this thing.
I wonder why they make it so difficult.
I almost wish I was born in the States and then moved here so I can just go back and forth or something.
That's crazy. I didn't know it was that.
It's so foolish. And this is just entertainment. This is not just, but you know what I mean? It's not, these are dates that you would think you can just travel to the States, maybe pay, I don't know, even if it was $100 and say, I got a wedding this day or I got a show this day with an artist. Nah, it's a process, man.
That's unfortunate because it's just crippling Canadian artists from really getting out and able to extend themselves or extend their brand beyond these borders.
It's weird. And see, so U.S. has really protected their borders in a lot of different senses, which we won't bother getting into.
Right. We're not a political podcast.
And then yes. Our American friends and colleagues and peers can just come on over and be like, yo, I'm going to be in Toronto on this day. I'm playing with this artist. You're like, what? He's Canadian.
Yeah. right.
When he called me, it's so weird.
Yeah,
right?
true.
There's so many things like, what? Think about that. Yeah. You can just come and play in my backyard and bounce. Now you got to like.
Right, yeah.
And if you try and sneak across and get caught, now you're red flag. So it's just like, don't even. If you're thinking about doing that, I wouldn't bother.
But how would someone get caught? Just like
carrying a guitar or whatever, right? Like,
can't you just say I like playing guitar?
Yeah, but even if you were just driving across, people, I mean, like you could be like, I'm just going to play to church. As long as they're not paying you, then I guess you can skate by. Right. Do it too often, I'm sure they're going to flag you anyway. But once you mention, if you said the church, they'll be like, is the church giving you a love offering? Is there an honorarium? Like, they're going to drill you. Say the wrong word and it's over. Yeah.
Is it all in the name of trying to collect the taxes? Is that what it
is? I mean, it's deeper? It's got to be like deeper, right? It's got to be deeper, but I mean, money's usually at the forefront of all these things.
Right.
So,
you're right.
Yeah, it's not easy for the Canadian artist trying to get it. And here's what's stupid, because as we all know,
there's more stupid. I thought I heard all the stupid.
Because the biggest thing we've been since we were born, this has been a struggle for Canadian artists. You don't get enough support. There's not enough people in Canada to build up the support base.
Right.
So you have to kind of go over to the States or maybe to the UK. Absolutely. It might be easier over there. But you can't cut across the States that easy.
Right.
Like, there's so many strings and hoops you have to jump through just to get across.
Is it that complicated to go across the pond?
Like the other side.
Yeah, like UK, like
Europe, yeah. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it just depends on the country. Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I do know that, like, even as someone that wants to travel regular, it's harder for certain people to get into the US. But they can travel to the Caribbean. They can travel to Europe lot easier. But in terms of getting denied, it's really tough both ways. I heard Canada is even harder than the U.S. Like, trying to get into Canada, if you have anything on your record, you're not even, they won't even let you in. Even if it was not even, you weren't charged, even if you were just, like, booked, you know what I mean? Like, they can deny you entry. It's weird how tight our borders are when it comes to silly things.
Certain things,
you look around and go, well, what's happening?
Yeah, like, it's like, something's not adding up here, man. I just want to go play some music.
Why is it so tough? But then, it's like anyone can get in. But anyway,
that's the thing. We're not that podcast, but we are when it comes to the music side. And I pray that something would change, because it's tough, man. And there's a lot of opportunity over there, but it'd be a lot easier if you could just hop on a plane and go do your thing, take some work, make some U.S. dollars.
I'm not trying to teach people how to scam or
enter. No, please do. This might be good.
But, like, if you just flew there and rented, but most musicians aren't going to rent.
That is a way around it. Now, if you're traveling with a group, if you have what are you doing with the reed? You have reeds in your pocket, like saxophone reeds, or, like, why do you have drumsticks? So they'll probably bother you still. But I guess the easy solution, if you want to be dishonest, which I'm not... rent stuff or have backline fully provided. I wouldn't want to play our weird unknown rental bass personally, but I mean, if the money fits, if the money makes sense,
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, is there certain times you would compromise and play a rented bass? And it's just down to money, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would do it if it just made sense. Obviously, I wouldn't do it going to the U.S. because that's not the type of person I am. I'm a man of honor.
Obviously.
But if I was going to Calgary and it was just easier to have a... Yeah, yeah. Just make sure I got some fresh strings. Hopefully, I have a choice of the bass or trust someone. If you trusted someone there who could say, you know, it's set up, these string actions low, blah, 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 then yeah, I'm down. Okay. But right off the shelf, I don't know if you've ever probably never done this, but if you go into Long McQuaid and you pick up a bass off the shelf, it's probably going to be like... The factory settings aren't always ideal for, you know.
Got you.
Yeah.
Got you. Okay.
Similar to a baseball glove, you go in, it's all like, right? Analogy. You got to like run. Remember running the car over the glove?
I had so this oil that I would use to put the oil in.
Yeah.
Put a ball in the glove. And then
and like a rubber band it and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, we did it all. Yeah. Back to the sand.
You get that nice loose action. Wow.
Yeah. And here we are. Yeah. That's funny, man. Killing me smalls.
Killing me smalls. Wow. Sandlot. It's one of my favorite movies.
Mine too. I might watch it this weekend if I could find
it. Killing me smalls.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. I really would love for us to do some of the U.S. work. That's one of those things that I think would be really cool. Let's just, I don't know, can we petition somehow to...
I don't even know where you would start to try and make that change. Yeah, like... We should talk to someone that might know a little bit more about it and find
out. That's actually a good idea. Let's do that for a future upcoming podcast.
That'd be a great idea.
Get the
someone that has a little bit of knowledge of, you know, international, what's the word? Working internationally.
Yeah, right? Maybe beyond the U.S. too. I think that'd be cool. Right, someone who could help us out just with some things to keep in mind.
I mean, our homeboy must know, Pavlo must know, because he's done it.
That's true, yeah.
You know, he's done it.
So he lives in Florida. I think we talked to him a few weeks ago.
Oh, right. Maybe
so
that's
maybe that's
difference.
A part of... And he also is a well-accomplished artist, so he might have that whole different set of visa where... he can go wherever he wants.
Dual citizen,
he's accepted
or something
as a
weird.
King. Yeah, I assume
as a king.
Yeah. I mean, he's done 4, going on 5 PBS specials. So
he's in another
class. Not, yeah.
That's true. But he might have understood.
He sued R. Kelly.
Implications so. Beginning, right?
Yeah.
He did sue R. Kelly.
Yeah, he's big time. Funny. He's big time. Rightly so. R. Kelly stole his. That riff was sick.
The Fiesta is legendary. Like, that's legendary.
I couldn't believe it when he told us that he played that.
Yeah,
just
that was like
that was
wow.
Your song?
That's
he found
crazy.
It? So if R. Kelly
but imagine
found
hearing it,
it
accidentally. Like,
yeah,
that,
true.
Like this big song, because he probably doesn't listen to hip-hop that often. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait, why do I know that? Oh, shit. And
that's mine?
Like, yeah. Like, and then he would just like
whose
play song his
song. Is it, R. Kelly? Like, yeah. I mean, I'm so sad that I said his name like 5 times on this podcast, to be honest. I'll beep those
all
out. Call him Robert from now on. But yeah, man, lots to consider. I think this whole TikTok thing, we talked about the beefs last year. Time's flying. Last week. And here we are talking about another beef between industry now, or big business. So interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Very interesting, especially since all of those layoffs that took place as well across the board, like I'd mentioned a few weeks ago, that like, you know, this
connected.
And the landscape of music is just very, very interesting. Very interesting.
I mean, I know we got to run, but why is it being pushed so hard to have AI come in and take over one of the things that is just so human, which is music creation?
Well, because you don't have the flaws of humans anymore. If you can remove all of the things that make it hard to work with humans and you eliminate them.
Oh, not the execution flaws.
Right. Even that, just the flaws of human. Just
fair, okay.
As an employer, you have to deal with sick people, unhealthy people, mentally unwell people, you know.
Yeah, ego.
AI will execute a task to a T, you know, unless you tell it incorrectly.
Right.
It's going to execute exactly what you want it to do. If not now, in a couple of years, we're not far away.
Yikes.
So
okay.
I think that's part of the reasoning is And they're expensive. Humans are expensive. You've got to put them in a room to do this work. You've got to buy a place for that room to be. You've got to pay them a wage. You know, if you can, and not only the wage, but also health care and other benefits that come with being an employee.
Yeah.
So I think if you can eliminate a bit of that and keep some of the money, even though the craft might suffer, eventually it'll get better. And I think that they're playing 4D chess, right? So if they're doing that, they know things that are coming down the pipeline that we haven't even really wrapped our brains around. And I think that's why they're doing it, is they can see all of the benefits and opportunities that are coming.
Yikes. Okay.
Scary times, my friends.
Spooky times. What a note to leave. What a note to end on. Be terrified. No, keep creating. Keep being uniquely you and bringing your best self every day.
Because it's going to... the value of human creation, I strongly believe, is going to increase exponentially. Real talent, real human skill.
True.
It's going to still be... what's the word? It's still going to... There's still a demand for that, a hunger, a thirst for that.
Yeah.
And it's just, we might have to pay a little bit more to experience it.
True.
But I don't think it's going to die. And I don't think machines can kill that, because machines don't have a soul.
I'm with you.
At that.
Amen, brother.
Yes.
All right. Well, until next
Any
time.
Any big plans?
Oh, man, I'm just going to do some housework, take it easy, have a nice...
Good.
Yeah, it's spring, man. So it's just about just creating and making the space feel just that much more comfortable and homey. What about you?
Same. I've been doing some lawn work, which is hilarious to say in my old age, but just getting my lawn right and then gonna go spend some time with the family. It's Mother's Day.
Nice,
so
nice. Yes.
Gonna go meet some people and go hang out and have some fellowship.
I guess by the time this airs, it'll be past, but happy Mother's Day to all the mothers
happy
out
Mother's
there.
Day to all the mothers. Yeah. QT, I see you.
QT, I see ya. Yeah, man.
We'll leave that. We won't even explain it. Just leave it there
for the time. All right.
All right, brother. Stay safe, everybody.
Take care.
Until next time.